The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network, by the
Some
way.
New stuff.
No longer Federal News Radio. It's Federal News Network, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsnetwork.com, I believe. Kevin Stanfield in studio. I'm Claude Jennings. Glad to be with you. After another Redskins win, 23-17, a win over the Carolina Panthers. And, Kevin, here's the thing. Oh, by the way, Kevin tweeted out that we were ready for the show with a picture of some of the Stanfield two boxes that you
out? some of the product by our good friends at Stanfield's. You know, they've been supportive literally of ours for quite some time since we found each other. You know, they're stationed up in Canada and we're holding down the fort here in D.C.
Right.
And they were kind enough, they put their money where their mouth is or other things, and they, and because we support them, they support us, right?
Exactly.
So we sent some product and we're passing it around the studio now. I wanted to send a picture out to my boss, right? But I don't know, in this age of sexual harassment, I don't know if that'd be cool.
Whether or not it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, it's the product. I mean,
it's not
you and them. Let's clarify the picture you want to send. You
want
to send a picture of the product, not of you and
them. It looks like me, but it's not me.
Oh, boy, that's funny. Yeah, so he's got the Stanfields there. And by the way, we will hand out a Stanfield player of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's needed because of this win. Look, so, Kevin, here's the thing about the Skins' performance today. Two things, and you pointed one of them out, and so I'll save it for you. I'll tee it up. But the first thing about the Redskins' win today is this is exactly what I thought would happen after the loss to the Saints.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it last week on the show. You mentioned it. I talked about it. But here's the thing. The inconsistency with this team is terrifyingly consistent. What happens is, you know, you come out against the Cardinals and, man, looks like they've turned the corner, going to be a great season. Then the week afterwards, you're left wanting more against the Colts in the loss, and then they come out and they're gangbusters again against the Packers. And then next thing you know, it's the same situation the week after with a letdown against the Saints. And so now we're trying to figure out what's going to happen against the Panthers. But if you follow the pattern of the team, you would know that they're going to come out and maybe not win, but play well enough to win. And so when I'm watching this final drive, I think to myself, this is exactly what I knew would happen. They would play well enough to win. So whether or not Carolina scores a touchdown or not to win this game, or whether the Redskins hold them and they win, this is exactly what we figured would happen. They would come out and play well enough to win.
Well, first of all, I'd like to start my portion of the dialogue by saying, we're in first place. I appreciate everything you just said. It was all true. We are in first place. So you look at it from a different perspective when you're on top of the mountain, looking at everybody who's trying to claw there and get to the mountaintop. You know, they did what was necessary to win. They did that. They just didn't do enough of it to suit me. Now, you know, I'm really usually a glass half full kind of guy, right? But the glass will get kind of shaky there, and water will slosh it out of the sides of it, right? You know.
Well, you actually just said what the second part was going to be, is that, you know, they won, but you can't get too comfortable with this win and winning this way. Go right ahead.
No. You can't. And you know, I did see a lot of things that made me like kind of proud, right? Like number one was the play of Josh Dotson, who was much maligned after not playing last week, although it was not his call not to play. He was available. He was cleared. The coach decided that he wasn't going to play him. And I guess he taught him a lesson. So I'll show you. I won't let you be a part of this blowout, you know. Right. And also the play of Josh Norman.
Josh Norman, yeah.
We got a lot of Joshes with the key roles here, you know. But who was playing, he was obviously, I mean, you know, last week took a toll on him, right? Because people started questioning not only his skill, his football skill, but his career choices, right? They were mad because he was in L.A. doing TV and stuff, right? Which I quite quickly got on Twitter at Stanfield Kevin and reminded people of the legend Chuck Connors, also known as the Rifleman, who played both professional basketball and baseball. And didn't seem like, you know, having a Hollywood career hurt him. But so I was proud to see Josh pick one off, which I was quite surprised to find out was the first pass he has picked off since 2016.
Wow.
I mean, you think about it. In 2017, you and Josh Norman had the same number of interceptions.
Up until this point. Now, but to follow that interception, he also had a fumble.
Yeah, a fumble. He caused a fumble, although he did later in the game kick Cam Newton in the head when he was on the ground with his knee. But, you know, we'll let that slide.
Yeah.
So I was proud of the bounce back by these two. We got a little bit later on some of the inside. I don't know if you caught this on the TV broadcast, but apparently the reason Josh Norman was benched last Monday night was because at halftime he had earbuds in the locker room.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and,
I heard that.
Right. And apparently he does it all the time. He always wears it, but in this particular instance, Coach Grooves took exception to it and snatched him out of Josh's ear, which I would have considered a personal assault, and it would have been a rumble in the locker room, but that's why I'm doing radio, right? But, you know, all that blew over, and they came together as a team, and they pulled this one off.
Wow. Yeah, they pulled it off. They did. Again, to approve to 3-2 on the season.
First place,
and, by
baby.
The way, to be first place in the NFC East. Yeah, and no matter what happens with the Cowboys today, the Redskins will still be in first place. And this is officially, I guess it's officially Cowboys week tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
Or is it officially Cowboys week?
Well,
one,
give us a second to relish in this one a little bit. Right. Because we did beat a formidable foe, right? You know,
exactly.
So there's no
Panthers. And here's the deal. Let's talk about the way this game ended really quick, and we'll work our way back. Was I the only one, you know, because we didn't watch the end of this game. We didn't watch any of the game together. But when you were watching this game, did you almost want to throw the remote control at the television trying to figure out what in the world were the Panthers doing those last four downs after they got the first down? I'm trying to figure out. So they get a first down, and it's the last four downs. They run the ball, I believe, or no, a short pass, and they get 5 yards. It's 2nd and 5, about 52 seconds left on the clock, and you can still get a first down.
Yes, yes.
They proceed to go to the end zone two straight plays. I'm trying to figure out why in the world wouldn't they just try to get the first down, call a timeout, and then you now have four plays, and you're closer to the end zone to try to get a touchdown for the win.
And it made no sense because up until the point where they got to that point in the field, they had not been stopped.
Right.
They had not been stopped. So they said, these guys obviously can't stop us. We'll have to stop ourselves. It made no sense. But prior to that, the possession that ended in the Washington field goal, when Adrian Peterson was just running up and down the field, taking four or five guys with him, the first thing they do, number one, is take him out the game. You know, when it got to when a touchdown would seal it, and they got within the 20-yard line, when Adrian Peterson carried them to the 20, the first thing you do is take him out the game. I figured they were like trying to outsmart the Panthers, you know. You know, they said, they don't know what to do now. The agent's not in the game. And I don't mind that. I understand that. They say Adrian's old. He needs his rest, right?
I guess.
Then while you're eating up the clock, you proceed to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have taken another minute off the clock.
Absolutely.
You know, and when you're under 4 minutes, you take, you know, that's an eternity, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what possessed them to throw the ball. The incomplete pass stops the clock. They score the field goal, but they give Carolina a chance to actually win this game. And that was more confusing to me than the ridiculous play calling of the Panthers. It's like they don't know the game. Either that or Jay Gruden was vying for to be the most stupidest man in the world.
Well, a title that he's had before.
Yes.
As we've given it to him on the Federal Football Report plenty of times before, simply for doing things that don't make any sense. So now, when I also look at it, and you were right, Adrian Peterson, man, what a day he had. And it was very encouraging yet again to see some sort of commitment to the run. Although, again, if you're running the ball the way that they ran the ball and it seems like your opponent can't stop you, there's no need to stop when it matters. Like, there was literally no need to stop running that last possession. But, again, they found a way to win, so I don't want to be overly critical because we'll have plenty of time to do that in fake news or not.
Yeah, well, you know, let me be a little bit more overly critical, just a little bit more. I tweeted about halfway through the fourth quarter, seems like the only person that can stop Adrian Peterson is Jay Gruden.
Exactly. You know? And he seems to like to point, and he seems to like to stop him, it seems.
You look so often that, especially, after, it doesn't really matter. It used to be if AP only got like 2 yards or less or something, he'd be jogging to the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Now, if you notice, watch the next game. Whenever Peterson gets up, he doesn't look at the huddle. He doesn't look at the defenders. He immediately looks at the sideline to see if he's coming out of the game. And they got to stop that. They have to stop that because just imagine you're the defense. Mm-hmm. And you see, after Adrian's just bust through you for 6 here, 7 here, 15 there, and you look up and he's going off the field, the first thing you got to do is breathe a sigh of relief. You say,
exactly.
Well, I ain't got to deal with that display.
You know? He's worth even just having the threat of Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson, by the way, 17 carries, 97 yards. Man, you know, what a great day by him. You know, you could have got him 20 to 21 to make me happy if you would have gave him a few carries towards the end of the game to really kind of ice it.
To ice it.
When the Panthers could not stop him.
Not only ice it, but try to score a touchdown. He was your most consistent and most effective weapon this game.
Oh, absolutely. He definitely was. And this was the kind of a game I think that the Redskins needed to kind of get things back on track after a tough loss to the Saints. Again, not necessarily the way you want to win, or not that they can even sustain a very successful season continuing to play the way they did. But one thing that stood out to me, you could tell this win meant a lot to the players. Once the game was all but over, you could see Morgan Moses, you know how they do that little jump, turn, bump to, you know, and Morgan Moses is doing that, and the guys are just happy. DJ Swearinger is getting into it, and it just seemed like this win meant something, like the game just meant something to the players, and I hadn't seen them this fired up or into it, except for week one against Arizona.
Yeah, and it looked like it meant something to them because they were playing for themselves. It looked like, you know, like I said, the thing with Josh in the locker room last week, and the thing about him, the coach benching Dotson, those are the comrades, right? Those are their brothers in arms. They're the same team, but they're still, it's like management and labor, right? You know, you got coaches and you got players, right? And the players are a brotherhood because the players would get cut, the coaches would still be there. Coach get fired, the players, you know. So this game seemed like they were really playing for each other. They really, really need to play a little harder, need to play a little smarter, but this was a team victory.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of who you're playing for, yeah, they got to play for each other because they're not playing for the fans. I mean, there weren't any. I mean, again, this is a common thing. I have more on this in the third segment, but I was in Columbus, Ohio to check out the Ohio State Minnesota game, and I was talking to my cousin. We went to the game together, and I was telling her that, you know, we were talking NFL. She was talking about Cleveland. And I said, you know, it's interesting because in Washington at FedEx Field, you know, you'll see – you know, a lot of the opponent's fans there. I said, just watch the if you can stomach it, watch the Skins Carolina game tomorrow. And she said she'd tune in. But I mean, it just baffles me that there are always so many of the opponent's fans in the stands. And I don't think it's like that anywhere else. But I will tell you what, I do think it might be like that a little more when the Raiders go to Vegas.
Yeah.
I think that'll be kind of a destination a lot of these teams' fans want to travel to Vegas. But I don't see it like that anywhere else.
Yeah, this is unique, and I think this is a combination of things. To me, the biggest drawback to going to FedEx Field is it's going to FedEx Field. You got to get there. You're looking forward to, depending on where you live in the Washington metropolitan area, you're looking forward to an hour delay traffic wise driving there. You're looking at unless you get like you're looking at paying some exorbitant price for a up close park, and you're looking at a hefty hike when you park. You're looking at, once you get into the stadium, walking a mile or two for, to yeah. your seat, you know, and that same experience in reverse leaving. You know, so there's right. nothing, if unless you got the game itself to pump you up, there's nothing to look forward to going to FedEx Field. So I see where that's a problem, right? But, and then, you know, people who got fed up with the product would sell their tickets, right, to whoever would buy them. And you can't fault them for that in a capitalistic society. Yeah. So it's up to the, it's up to the people who own this team and manage this team to do something. And it's not about having a prettier scoreboard or giving me the fantasy football scores, because it's about the game on the field. And unless they improve that product, it's not going to get any better.
Absolutely. Well, the product took a step to improving today. Again, the Washington Redskins over the Carolina Panthers, 23-17 to improve to 3-2. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to ask you. Like, 20, they did stop them when they had to, and at one point.
But let me interrupt you interrupting me. I want to say this one thing about the stadium. I've really never had a bad experience going to FedEx Field. But go ahead.
Not a bad experience. I mean, just except the one time. The one time I went with my wife, the RG3 comeback game, the opening night of the season, Monday Night Football.
The Eagles, right?
Yeah. It wasn't at the stadium. We got out of the car in the parking lot. There was a guy peeing against a tree at the parking lot, right? So that's the only bad experience I had. I just don't like it. I grew up, being of I don't know, they didn't call, my generation didn't have a name. We were just people, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
we're millennials, we weren't Gen X.
Millennials or Gen Z.
We were just us. Yeah. So when I was us and was going to a game at RFK, just jump on the subway, you get off a block away, there'd be all kinds of vendors and games and stuff like that block, and boom, you're at the stadium, right?
Right.
You know, so I have a basis for comparison. That's why I say, I know the history, I know how I ended up in Ral John and all that. I just don't like it. It's just too inconvenient, right? But what I was going to ask you when I interrupted prior to the interruption of the interruption, I want to know what you thought about the defense. Now, I have particular issues with it, but I just, you know, granted, we did win, but what did you think about the defensive performance?
You know what? I thought the defense played very well. You know, and here's why I felt the defense played very well. They let some things go in the second half, but again, you're playing against a pretty good quarterback in Cam Newton. He's got some weapons on offense, but he is hard to defend because you just don't know how much he's going to use his legs. And so given that, I felt like the defense played very well. I felt the defense got a lot of pressure on him. I felt like for the most part, the defense kept him very well contained, didn't allow him to get out the pocket and do a ton of running. I felt as if the defense, again, created some turnovers. Josh Norman behind both of those. Again, Cam Newton only rushing for 43 yards on 9 carries. That's not bad, given what he can do. Christian McCaffrey, 8 carries for 20 yards. I mean, they really stuffed the run. And so I think the defense, if I had to give them a grade between, you know, A through F, I would probably give them a B+. They got sloppy late, but I'd give them a B+.
Yeah, you're a little bit more generous than I am in this case. Yeah, there was some pressure. I'm looking at a C-. There was some pressure, but too often he knew exactly where he wanted to go with the ball, and he went there.
Right.
And the Funchess is a man. If Josh Doctson had people throwing him the ball like they would throw it to Funchess and give him a chance, I think he'd be a lot more productive. But I am concerned. If you got time, I know you know, if you got a refrigerator near you, run in there, see if you see a milk carton, and then look on the side and see if you see Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith on there. I do not remember hearing their names at all today. Let me check the inactive list, you know. I know they had schemes in place to keep Cam in check and all, but we need more production out of those guys. I mean, you can't play this position and just be stopped.
You're the glass half full guy, right?
That's me. Then we got to get better so we can fill this glass up. Now, granted, like, remember when you said you have just as much and many interceptions as Josh Norman did last year. Right now, you had just as many sacks as Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith combined for this game. You know, they got to do better than Claude.
Right, that's true. And that's a low bar.
Let that be the standard. You got to, you tell them before they go into the game, you guys need to get more sacks than Claude and Kevin. All right.
There you go.
You got
exactly.
to.
You got to have more sacks and more turnovers than Claude and Kevin. That's the whole point there. Well, good. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. The Redskins win 23-17 against the Carolina Panthers at home to improve to 3-2.
First place.
The Panthers fall 2-3-2. They're second place in the NFC South. We don't care about them. All we care about is beating them when they're in front of us. So we've got fake news or not coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. It's the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network. I got used to saying that. I love new stuff, man. I love the way that sounds. Federal News Network, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsnetwork.com. Redskins 3-2, first place in the NFC East after a 23-17 win over the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, fall to 3-2. Kevin, you know what time it is, man. It's the segment that America loves most.
It's time for fake news.
There it is.
Or not.
You know the drill already. Very successful season last year for fake news or not. Decided to bring it back. Three statements to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or whether it's not. After a tough performance against the Saints and being trashed all week and apparently having earbuds snatched from his ears from the coach during halftime and then being benched, no need to worry, folks. Stop all the exaggerating. Josh Norman is just fine there at cornerback. Fake news or not, Kevin?
I think that is that's a difficult one. I think that is true. That is okay. The truth that Josh Norman is what he is, and I think that Carolina realized that because they spent their time going to the other side of the field.
And the two turnovers today, by the way, helps with that, right?
Right. And you know, Josh has to play with a certain type of swagger. That's his game. If he starts like humbling himself, then they've won the battle.
Right.
Somebody told me one long time ago, back in my athletic days, that if you don't believe you can play, the other team surely is not going to believe you can play. So you got to, you know, approach this thing like you're the best athlete on the field, on the court, you know, in the batter's box, whatever, right? You got to believe that you're the best, and nobody else is going to believe it. So,
well, it's interesting because we came up with this, that whole discussion / argument with RG3. Remember when he said he feels he's the best quarterback in the league?
Right.
And everyone was like, oh, well, how could he say? It's like, you know, sometimes guys, you know, get off of that. Because to be at that level, you know, you got to look at it. He's probably been the best in each league he's played in from birth. And so, of course, he probably feels like he's the best quarterback in the league. He probably still feels that way. He just feels like he's not getting a shot.
Especially when it's crunch time and your team needs the best quarterback in the world.
Right.
And that's his thing. You know, that was the RG3 thing. You know, when it comes to that, when it comes time to play, I feel like I'm the best in the world and I can accomplish any task, right? And that's the same way with Josh Norman. He feels he's the best corner in the world. And no matter, you know, you what? And that's what I like about him. If you catch 10 passes on him, he's still going to feel like you caught 10 passes against the best corner in the world, right? You know? So that's, you know, nothing against me. That's props to you. So, yeah, that's news. I think he'll be just all right. And I want to add to that. I think that Quentin Dunbar is going to be all right because he got they wore him out today. But at the end of the game, he played his best defense.
Absolutely, and I'm with you on that.
Yeah, because when they got in the red zone, they were determined they were going to go at Dunbar, and he held his own. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that the corners, with a little bit of help from the guys up front, a little bit more pressure, I think the corner's going to be just fine. So that's news.
Absolutely. I'm with you, too. I think everyone should just relax. Josh Norman's going to be okay. This is the doctor edition of Fake News and I, by the way, because we're doing checkups on players,
that's
all
right.
Three questions.
They are.
So now here's our next checkup. After being, questioned about his play last week, here's another one. Alex Smith is okay. Fake news or not?
I got a surprise for you in that one. I think that's fake news.
Whoa.
I think that's fake news. I think that Alex is starting to look a little old to me. I think that he looks surprised when what he's looking for after the snap isn't there. I think he looks surprised. I think that his timing's a little bit off because I don't think he enjoys, I mean, none of us loves getting hit.
Right.
But let me take that back. I don't know who's listening. Some of you might like it. I don't think Alex does. But the thing that concerns me the most is I think his arm is a little bit tired, because there was a couple of plays that if he had like led the receiver or hung the ball out there, you know, maybe over 40 yards, I think it gives the receivers a better chance. But I think the receivers have to fight for too much. It's not, how many times do you see, you don't see Alex throwing to a guy who's like wide open on the sideline. The one deep pass he's thrown this year, the one, the early touchdown to Richardson, in the Green Bay game.
Right.
But nothing to the sideline. I don't think he can swing it like he used to. So I'm thinking that's fake news. I think that's something to be concerned about. And I think that as long as they keep throwing the ball 40 times a game, they're going to need Adrian Peterson just so he doesn't have to do it. So he doesn't have to throw the ball that much.
Well, and by the way,
watch out for that.
Yeah, well, close to 40 attempts today. Alex Smith, 21 for 36. Check this out, though. 21 completions, but just for 163 yards.
Yeah,
what's stinking dunking
there? Yeah. Because I don't know. You know,
Two touchdowns.
You're also assuming that the defense is playing back, but that's the point of having a run game. Make those safeties come up. You know, I know this is not a pleasant task to hit Adrian Peterson, but that's why you run the ball. When the safeties come up, you have to go over the top, right? You know, so yeah, I think we should watch out for that. I think don't sell your stock in Colt McCoy futures for right now, because Alex might, you know, if you're looking around game 8 or game 9, you might see Alex with a mysterious shoulder bruise or an oblique strain or some other weird stuff like that or a spinal contusion, and you might have to sit. You know, just watch out for, you heard it first right here, that's not fake news. I mean, that's fake news.
Yeah, very interesting there. And our last question here for fake news or not, the doctor's addition. We're trying to do checkups on some of our players. Again, after being, you know, very scrutinized throughout most of his young career here, maybe a breakout game, I don't know, but Josh Dotson is going to be okay. Fake news or not?
That's news right there, because I just think that he's maligned, because the people around here, the way they do radio and stuff, they have to malign somebody right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, us, you know, being the different type of show, we malign people that deserve it.
Right. But,
and we'll let them have it, too. But it's easy. And the press around here, they just love to pile on. They'll find a thing and they'll just pile on and pile on. And we've given historic statistics on players like the Carlos Rogers. Like, oh, he's no good. He can't catch. We gotta let him go. Gotta let him go. And all of a sudden he's an all pro, right? You know, it happens. I think that if you throw this kid the ball, he'll respond. He tried to play hurt. Coach didn't want him to play, right? And I think it was punitive. And you saw, it couldn't have been any worse than it was last week, right? You know, and today with Jamison Crowder being inactive, that forced Alex Smith, that forced Jay Gruden to rely on some other guys. And did you notice how many receivers were in the game today? You had, Dotson, you had Richardson, you had Brian Quick, you had, Floyd, you had Mo Harris. They only got like two running backs on the on the roster. They got like 19 receivers to show you what Jay Gruden's head is, right? So I think that they need to find a better way of utilizing this kid. I think that you know, they can put him in motion if they're worried about him getting off the line. But he was catching balls with people all over his back today, right? You know, they were
right.
And it got to the point where even the TV announcers were making notice of it. So I think he's going to be all right. If people just leave him alone and throw the ball, let him play, I think he's going to be okay.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Fake news or not, another edition of America's favorite segment on the Federal Football Report. Again, the Redskins improved to 3-2, first place in the NFC East.
First place.
After a 23-17 win over the Carolina Panthers. It's Dallas Week, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin. What does this mean? You know, we were talking about this during the commercial break. This is a big game. This is a big game for the NFC East.
Yeah, because
but it's a big game.
Right, because the NFC East has been maligned. I mean, think about it. We got the Super Bowl champ coming out of the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been playing their best. The quarterback, you know, he's going to need a little time to get around, you know, come around. And, you know, coming off an injury like that, he's not going to be exactly the same. It's going to take, you know, psychologically, it's going to take him a minute to get back. But this game, this is like nationally televised game, and people are going to be talking about it, right? You know, they're going to be talking about the embarrassment these teams have suffered, like the embarrassing coaching decisions that the Cowboys have made, and it's going to be a lot of negative to talk about. So this is a big game for Washington because they can solidify their whole and their division record. You know, the division record is the most important thing, right? So, you know, this is a very, very big game, and you know, we got to definitely put on the Stanfields for this one.
Absolutely, because as it stands now, the Washington Redskins 3-2, the Eagles 3-3, the Cowboys 2-3, as we record this, their game with the Jaguars not over yet, and the Giants 1-6. And so, man, I mean, you've got the Cowboys. If they win, they move to 3-3 in a second place tie with the Eagles, but within reach of the Redskins, who haven't had their bye week yet. And, well, the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Giants haven't had their bye week yet, so the rest of the division have not had their bye week yet. And with the Cowboys facing the Redskins this week, this is what makes this game so important in the NFC East standings, and so we'll see what happens. Now, when it comes to this matchup with the Cowboys, Kevin, your keys to victory for the Redskins?
First of all, I think that you got to establish yourself, not establish the run. You have to establish yourself as the dominant team, and the other team has to be the also-rans. Dallas has had so much misfortune this year. Mm-hmm. You want to just put some doubt in their head and put it in their head early, right? Because, and give yourself some confidence at the same time, right? We don't want them thinking they can win.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them thinking they can win, so we just want to help them along that line, prove to them that they can't.
Exactly. I think that starts with stopping the run. You stop Zeke, the Cowboys has proven that they cannot score for the most part at all this year. And if they get in position, the coaching staff may mess it up for them anyway. And so I think that this is a game that sets up as a win for the Redskins. But again, if we talked about this, it's so inconsistent up and down. I would not be surprised if they play well enough to win, but somehow find a way to lose. But we'll see how that works out. Who gets your Stanfield player of the game today, Kevin?
This is a rare occasion today because last week I was so disgusted and disappointed. I didn't give anybody the Stanfield. But, but you know, I start thinking about it. That's cruel. That's cruel. Right? I mean, to not give people like the Stanfields, man, but like, it's like, not giving a drowning man a ball of air, right? You know what I'm saying? So this week I got two players who epitomize what that toughness, right? That the Stanfield stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is,
I love that. What Stanfield stands.
Stanfield stand for. I like
love
that.
It.
First one is Josh Dotson.
Yes.
Josh Dotson, because it was obviously he was playing hurt, but it didn't matter. He wasn't in this thing for him. He wasn't there like because of what people are saying. He was in there because he was a ball player. He was playing for his teammates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the first pair of the Stanfield, the tribute, right? The Stanfield player of the week, right? The other one, difference of player. Josh Norman.
Yep.
People came at Josh hard and heavy, right? It was very cold. Mm-hmm. People were very cold to Josh this week. But, you know, the Stanfields make long underwear, too.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, Josh didn't let it bother him. He took a stand, right? He was a man about it. He didn't dodge any questions. He answered the questions. And he played, arguably, the best game of the year today, right?
Yeah.
Caused two key turnovers.
Best
right?
game in 2 years.
That's in 2 years, right? 2 years. So we got to get both of those guys, both Josh's get the Stanfield Player of the Game Award this week.
Very well done, Kevin Stanfield.
Thank you.
Very well done. If I had to give one away this week, I'd give it to, and I don't want to double, I have no arguments with either one of those guys, but just to be a little different, I'd give it to Adrian Peterson again. Thought he held things down on the offensively for the team, steady running game, big runs when you needed it, and especially late, and could have iced the game, and not even just iced, but scored a touchdown, put it out of reach if the coaches would have kept running.
He runs like he wears Stanfields, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
That's
yes,
right.
He does. So here's the thing. It's a quick flag football update from Manny. This is week 5 is in the books. They ended up winning by 1 point this week. A 2-point conversion that they got. He got the 2-point conversion. The last 2 weeks, kind of underperforming, right? He had three touchdowns two weeks ago, he had two touchdowns. He's back, though. This week, he had another four touchdowns. One was a catch. He caught the ball and ran it in. And, yeah, he has yet to be tackled this season. And in five games, he has 17 touchdowns.
Well, so, let me ask you this, though, man. You know how people talk in the rumor mill and such. You think there's any truth to the fact that he was, like, distracted with, like, some preschool obligations and he wasn't thinking solely about football? You think that might have a little something to do with him, like, being limited to three touchdowns that last week? You know?
Yeah, he had some other things going on in life. You know, it's hard to keep focus on flag football and kindergarten. Whatever.
He's going to have to make up his mind, man. What does he want to be? Does he want to be a scholar or does he want to be a ball player, man?
Yeah, you know. So we'll have to see how that works out. So, yeah, he did that. Now, I was not there to coach him because I was in Columbus, Ohio, catching Ohio State versus Minnesota.
Yeah, so you're obviously disappointed in the three touchdown performance and you didn't want to be associated with it, so you figure you teach him a lesson.
Exactly. That's right. It's so funny because my wife was sending me videos of the game and I was watching that before Ohio State, and one of the dads on the team filled in for me coaching, and you know, at their level they let us play quarterback for them.
Right.
I would say, hey, if another kid's dad want to just keep giving the ball to him, that's fine. I have to be measured at how I do this, but they were just giving it to him. So that was kind of fun.
So wait a minute now. And wait a minute. So you were the quarterback. He only scored three. And this other guy was the quarterback and he scored four. Right. You think there's going to be some type of conflict when you come on, little world dad, I love you, but I think maybe Josh's dad should be a quarterback. Do we have a quarterback controversy in the Madden League?
We have a quarterback controversy in Upwards League and Laurel flag football.
You got to keep us posted on that one, man. This is fabulous stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go with that. So coming up on the other end of the break here, we're going to talk about my Ohio State football experience. And also, Kevin, you've got a movie to review.
Absolutely.
And we'll do all of that coming up. But you know what? One quick thing before we go to break, Kevin.
Yeah.
Predictions for the Cowboys-Redskins game. What do you got?
I predict an outstanding performance by the front four, I said, not the front three in defense. I'm talking about four. I'm talking about, actually five, because we got to throw Ioannidis in the mix. So I think Kerrigan, I think Payne, I think Allen. Mm-hmm. And I think Preston Smith, all are going to come up large. And I think I'm looking for a 34-14 triumph for the Burgundy and Gold.
You know what? I'm looking at it, and I believe the Burgundy and Gold will be they will come out triumphant. I think that they'll win. I'm thinking about a 24-13 type game, similar to today, but a little more out of hand. I think the Cowboys will get down early, and they don't have the firepower to come back. And so you'll see a 24-13 game, maybe 23-14. You can change to 3-4, however you like. And that's what will end up happening next week. There you have it, folks. You heard it here first. Coming up after this commercial break, Ohio State football and a movie review from Kevin on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. It's the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, and the website, federalnewsnetwork.com. Redskins improved to 3-2 after an impressive win. Oh, I thought impressive. Kevin a little less impressed over the Carolina Panthers.
A
depressing win to improve to 3-2 on the season. First place in the NFC East. Carolina Panthers fall to 3-2. We discussed our predictions for the Cowboys game coming up. Cowboys, by the way, right now as we record this show, leading the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know that can change. No one in Dallas quickly. But right now we're going to talk a little bit about our weekends. I had a chance to drive up to Columbus, Ohio, to watch the Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in my first experience at the Horseshoe. And Kevin, I got to admit, man, I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been in the 80s for the most part for the last few weeks, even in Columbus. But for some reason, you know, Saturday I'm driving up. I left the D.C. area early, like around 4 o'clock or so. And I'm in the car and it's 44 degrees. Then as I head up to Cumberland in the mountains, it's about 42. And then as I'm heading through the Nemacolin area, Pennsylvania, it's 38. And then it gets back up to 41. It was like 45, 46 degrees at kickoff in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, that's football. I mean, and so the weather, and it was, I mean, I had plenty of layers on, but the weather was great. It was fall. It was college football. It was Columbus. I mean, the tailgating and the fan experience and the you know, before the game, I mean, there was just so many people out in the streets. So many people there just to tailgate, not even coming into the game. They were just there, just wanted to hang out, watch TV, barbecue, drink, talk to their friends, and just hang outside the stadium. So many people. Everyone's high-fiving. I mean, I just felt the energy. So then we get into the stadium, and I walk out to go to the seats, and first glimpse of the field, it was beautiful.
Oh, man.
Beautiful, man. And, of course, you know, the pageantry and just everything with college football and the fan. It was just great. I had a great time. Now, the game ended up being closer than most people would have thought, given the opponent. I mean, Minnesota is not necessarily world beaters, but, you know, they've been having some issues. Ohio State, I mean, they lost, they won a close one against Indiana. Again, another game that they figured they, you know, win walking away with. But yeah, it was really, interesting to see. The game was close. They pulled it out. They won 30-14, but it was way closer than that.
Well, let me ask you this. I have not experienced like, Big Ten type of football, and I know what you said about the tailgating. People were just coming there because that's the experience. Now, you've experienced pro football stadiums and you've experienced like the big time college.
Mm-hmm.
What's your preference?
Oh, right, big time college.
Oh, yeah.
Big time college. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. I actually am I'm becoming a bigger fan of the college game than the pro game, to be honest with you. And it wasn't always that way. I've always loved the pro game, but I've always loved the NFL more. And I feel like I'm starting to switch, man. I feel like I'm starting to switch.
Well, was it the game or the atmosphere? I mean, you didn't see anybody like peeing on a tree when you got out of the car,
no.
Either. Because that can tend to like put a damper on you in the evening, literally, right? You know.
Yeah. But, no, exactly. No. So I think what it is the regional love for the teams and the atmosphere that college football brings and the rivalries and traditions and things like that. I think that college football just has a way of involving communities around it that I like more so than the, and again, me liking college football a little more than the pros at this point isn't necessarily a knock on the pros. Like, I still watch as many games as I can, and I love NFL, but I just think that my love for the college game is growing. And so this is all part of a stadium tour that my cousin Audrey and I are going to do. She's from Columbus. We actually literally just met 3 years ago at a family reunion in Columbus, and I was looking to go on a tour of the stadium, but it was all booked up. And so I just asked her, has she ever been? And she's like, have I ever been? Like, I go every year. I go to games. Got season tickets, blah, 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 blah. And so we just decided we're going to do a college football stadium tour. We said we'd stop 2 years from that date, and this is the 2 year mark. So we just started.
Oh, cool.
We said we'd do a home and home. So I went to Ohio. November 17th, Ohio State comes here to Maryland to beat up on the Terps. And so I'm going to treat her to that game. And yeah, so then each year we pick, I think next year we're going to try to get to Notre Dame and maybe West Virginia or maybe Virginia Tech or something like that.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Very, you know, we both know very well one of Penn State's largest fans. That's our good friend Julius Ziegler,
Julius,
right?
Julius Ziegler, a.k.a. The Boss.
The Boss, right, yeah. Right. I'm sure that could be like a neutral site game. Both of you all go up there. I'm sure she'd love to host you for a game up there, right?
Well, see,
show you how that works out.
I've got, see, I'm not into the fighting thing. And so I'm just going to need my cousin Audria to not wear her Ohio State gear to a Penn State game. Because, you know, you're going to be on your own. I just don't like to do that.
I understand. I know you're blood and all, but this is the boss, right?
I mean, you know, I go to the Redskins games, and I see sometimes these Cowboy fans, when the Cowboys aren't even playing there at FedEx Field, and they wear their stuff, and they're loud and obnoxious, and then someone throws a beer on them, and then they're mad. And I'm like, you know, I can't do anything for you, buddy. Why'd you come up here doing that? Stop. Just stop. Okay, so you had to review a movie.
Yeah, I was. I had the pleasure of, you know, being the world-renowned movie critic that I am.
People may not know that about you, but you are a world-renowned.
They will know eventually. Cause I'm going to say it during every show, right? So I went to the screening last week of the movie First Man, which is a biopic about Neil Armstrong and the Apollo program and the moon landing, right? You know, now, I know that we have a younger demographic, whatever you call yourself, millennials, marsupials, whatever you are out there, right? You know, but I remember vividly the moon landing. I was a big fan of the space program. I was a Trekkie when it was originally on TV. I loved the concept of outer space, right? And I was a scientist. I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? My parents would let me get up and I'd watch all the blast off, all the rocket, you know, all the Gemini program, the Mercury program and all that. I remember it all vividly, mm-hmm. right? So it was an interesting experience for me to go see this movie because it was from the perspective that you didn't see at home, like what it was like being in that tin can on 50 billion pounds of rocket fuel and what those guys were experiencing because so much of it was shot from the perspective of being inside the capsule, right?
Right.
So that part of it I found fascinating. But I think as a movie, it lacked a little something because I assume from what Ryan Gosling, who portrayed Neil Armstrong, was trying to portray, that he was a New Englander or he was from somewhere other than where I was from, right? Because he spoke with this accent, uh-huh. and I couldn't figure out what the accent was, and it was sort of like forced, right? You know, it was like a thing, like if you knew, like for instance, if you see Colonel Sanders, right, and you talk about chicken, you know he's going to talk with a southern accent because he's from uh-huh. Kentucky or whatever, right? If you didn't know where Colonel Sanders was from, you didn't have to do the accent because nobody would know the difference.
Right.
So that's what I think. I think it got to a point where it became bothersome to hear this guy talking like this, right? Mm-hmm. And then so much of it was just like glossed over because you guys were probably too young to remember. There was a tragic accident in the space program where it caused big changes because they used to use, for breathing, they used to use primarily oxygen in the breathing supply. Mm-hmm. And they were doing a test flight. They weren't even flying. They was doing a test in the capsule on the launch pad. And a spark ignited a fire and three astronauts burned up inside in the capsule. Mm-hmm. Because to this point, they screwed themselves in. They had like a wrench. When you close the door, they had to screw the door shut. Mm-hmm. And they did not have enough time because it was pure oxygen burning to open the doors to get out. So that led to changes. You know how, like in an airplane, how they have this big knob and it sort of twists and locks to seal the plane. That's why they invented that, because of that fire in the space program. They had to change the way these things close, right? So I was fascinated by the technology, but in terms of the acting and all that, it might have been worth waiting to see it on TV. So I'll give it like 3 out of 5 stars, you know, interesting, decent performances, but if it wasn't for the actual flying part, I wouldn't have cared less.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Sorry, Neil. I mean, you know. rest in peace, right?
Yeah. So the movie itself, how many stars out of 5?
Three maybe, oh, wow. Because they didn't spend enough time in outer space for me.
Well, there you go.
Because that was the thing. There was a lot of things that happened. Like, everybody saw the movie Apollo 13, right? You know, mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff happened, but a lot of that stuff happened on every single space flight, right? And I think the public took it for granted because of the propaganda. We just felt like everything was A-OK, right? You know, but these guys were about to die every single time they left the Earth, right? You know, so that part of it I found fascinating. The acting part, you and I could have done a good job, but.
Wow.
But we never noticed the difference, right?
Wow. Well, there you go.
He ain't Neil Armstrong. Okay, right.
Well, there you go, guys. Another great movie review from the great movie critic, Kevin Stanfield. Kevin, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your effort on that.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. It's Dallas Week. Kevin, does it feel, because, you know, we've said this before, that it felt like the Dallas Week has kind of lost its juice. Is the juice back?
No. Or? No, it's not even close,
yeah,
man. It's not even close because
for one thing,
ever since George Allen really established the rivalry, because he said if we want to be anything in the NFC East, we have to beat the Cowboys, because the Cowboys were the pride of the division, right? They were the pride of the NFL, right? And now they still got this America's team myth going on, right? But it doesn't mean anything to Washington to beat the Cowboys, but they have to make it mean something. Somebody has to make it mean something. They have to get, that doesn't matter. They said, we gotta get up for Dallas, right? And it's not up to the coaches to do it because the coaches don't understand. They don't care. They have to make it mean something because they gotta realize guys got like Josh Norman will make them realize, guys, if we pump this up, it's good for us. And if it's good for us, it's good for the Skins, if it's good for the Burgundy and Gold, it's good for the NFL. So they got to take it upon themselves to realize this game is a big game. Big game, big for football, period.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And we'll be back next week after this game to discuss the game and break it down beyond levels considered scientific, what we do every single week right here on the Federal Football Report.